Hi everyone. It's actually Rana. It's okay. Rana, my name is Rana Yellowrobe, and I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. Thank you so much to Sharon M, who was the speaker seeker and sought me out to come and get to share with the Newcomers International. It's good to be fully present and connected to each and every one of you in the way that we are, as we walk this red road together in sobriety. My sobriety date is April 27th, 1997. And yeah, my home group is the Federal Way Women's Book Study. And yeah, I'd have been active in AA from the time when I walked in because that's the kind of alcoholic I am. I'm not somebody that can take a break or, I know I've met people that can do that. I'm just not one of them. Some people go to church and, and they're doing, succeeding out there, but that's not me. I when I first got into when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous, my best thinking had got me into a place where my children were being raised in Montana, and I'd wake up from some of my drunks wondering, what am I doing here? And they're there. I just the sometimes that the clarity of the insanity would come in, and my best thinking was just to go ahead and try to drink myself back into oblivion. My first drink, I was 4 years old, and my auntie was babysitting me, and she must have thought she was a teenager hanging out with her kids, her friends, and I thought it would be funny to get me, to give me a drink. And I remember that. I remember the feeling. I remember people laughing at me because I was staggering around, and I also remember, back in our days, we used to have those TVs. When you turn them off, they'd be that little tiny, white circle, and it would just get smaller and smaller, and that's exactly what happened in my little world. But I'll always remember it. I like the feeling that I was having, and I didn't drink for many years after that. But it was something that, when I by the time I had got to you, I had a lot of good times. Started out as good times, and had fun, and but it ended up coming into a place that by the time I got to you, I was, I'd lost a relationship and my children, and I was in another relationship and had a baby girl and on the brink of losing that as well. My last drink was April 26, 1997. It was a time when I had gotten into outside issues. And man, I tell you, that brought me down real fast. I used to think, I had probably like 30 years to drink, but I didn't know how I was going to handle, these consequences as a result of my drinking. But it never occurred to me one time to not drink. And so, by the time I got to you, just like all the stories that we hear, I had hit a lot of pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization in jail, in fights in the bars, and just that's the kind of drunk I was. I broke the rhythm of my heart the way that I drank. One weekend I was partying with some friends in Sacramento, and we were just drinking the whole weekend. And that Sunday, I had this thing that's today it's called chronic. They call it chronic arrhythmia, and it just broke the rhythm of my heart. And it doesn't show up now like it used to. It usually will show up in places where I'm nervous or something, but or maybe I'm going through some stressful things, but as a result of being with you, I can kind of use it as an indicator today rather than something that is harming me. So when I got to you, I wasn't thinking I was going to come to AA. I was thinking that was for in my little town of Havre, Montana. There was a little, we had a bar called Lee's Tavern, and we used to have the logs there, and that's where our town drunks would go with their, bags of bottles, of liquor. And so I wasn't doing that. My mom almost died from alcoholism. I had aunties and a lot of family members who have died from alcoholism. My mom made it through. She was able to get sober and join, and she came into AA, and I got to walk 8 years of my sobriety with her. And that was a real blessing to get to do that. But when I got to you, I wasn't too thrilled. I had gone to treatment because I was thinking they were going to treat me, and they were going to get me well so that I wouldn't, end up having these consequences all the time. But they sent me to Alcoholics Anonymous. And in that place, right off the bat, those people that, they just took me and just started putting me to work, became their coffee maker. And if you're a liar, cheat, and thief with like me, they gave me the key of trust, right? They gave me the key to be the first one of the church to come in and make the coffee and get everything ready. And I thought they must not really know what liar, cheat, and thief is to give me that key. Because I didn't need a Bible, but I would have stole it. And because I did steal my first big book, it was like, I'm not paying $7.50 for a big book. I could use that for other things, And but you hang out, they say that water rises to its own level. So I'm hanging out with all of you, right? And that honesty is starting to, touch me on the shoulder. It's like, we're not doing that anymore. So I confessed it to my home group that I stole my big book from the treatment center, and they had me give it back, and they gave me my very own my very own big book. They had me make coffee, and they, and from coffee, they had me doing, becoming a secretary and just kind of nurturing me through that way. I didn't think God liked me. I come from a place where religion kind of, I was under the bondage of other people's beliefs around God. And so I didn't really think that God really wanted anything to do with me. But I didn't realize that when I was walking into those group of drunks, that I was acting my way into a thinking, a certain thinking that I had not yet come to believe. And those group of drunks, they would feed me the good orderly design of the 12 steps and traditions. And from that, it's like, and then they taught me good orderly discipline, and they gave me good orderly direction of the big book and sponsorship. And those things were really important to me because, under the my old ideas around God, it was really, it was kind of a scary place because I didn't know how I was going to stay in AA, with the beliefs that I had. But it wasn't the beliefs that had the power. It was the actions I was taking by walking into my group of drunks, letting my good orderly direction guide me through the good orderly design. And, so all that is the acronym for God. And I'm thinking to myself, as I'm just trying to, walk kind of like walk this wire, because every day I'm surprised, if I wake up from a drunk dream that it wasn't true. Because so many times I had woken up drunk and and found myself in places I didn't want to be. And sometimes I just lay there and close my I had my eyes closed and said, please be home, please be home, please be home. And sometimes I was and sometimes I wasn't. That's just how precarious my life had become. And I didn't know, I was just following, the direction of the people guiding me. And I loved it when people clapped, right? It's like, I got 2 days of sobriety, yay, And I was like a little baby, when she's starting, a baby's starting to walk and we clap, and that's kind of like where my encouragement came from. And I had to borrow from that for a long time until I was able to find that place within inside of myself. And I remember like the first time, and I thought that I was never gonna want, like I not want to drink because the obsession was there for a while. But I remember in my 3rd month, I wanted to drink, and I remember attacking my husband, like thinking that, and I'm, he's just like, I thought it was because you were an alcoholic, but you're just a crazy, and called me a name. I'm not gonna say it here because I don't know. I think my sponsor teaches me that, that profanity, lack of profanity never offended anyone. So I'll just keep it at that. But I want you to know that when I sat there on the bed after I attacked my husband, I remember thinking, how am I still behaving this way? I thought these are the things that I did when I was drunk. I had the racing mind, the magnifying mind, and I said, what's the point of being sober? But I went to a meeting and I shared about it, And in my 3rd month, I was sitting there with a glass of wine in front of me, and my sister was getting ready to move away, and I felt I was being abandoned. Self-centeredness doesn't, it's still very close to home. And at that point, and she was leaving, and I sat there with a glass of wine in front of me. But what happened right before that, it was I was at a meeting, and my children were getting ready to, I had, gotten rights to my children to come visit for the summertime. And I was getting ready to send them back to their dad, and I was scared. And I remember going to a meeting, and I said, my children are getting ready to leave, and I think I'm going to drink, because that's always what I did, That self-pity would sink in, and poor me, and I would just, drink myself, into oblivion. So I went to a meeting and I was sharing, I think I'm gonna drink. And this woman, she's an elder, her name was Rita, she gave me her phone number, but on the back of the card, she wrote, "The biggest failure we make in life is giving up what we want the most for what we want right now. Change the thought before it becomes an action." And when I sat there when I with that card and I sat there with that drink in front of me, those words were just playing over and over, because what I wanted the most was just to like the woman in the mirror. What I wanted the most was to be able to be a good mom, and alcohol would take that from me every single time. But this time it was different, because I could see what I wanted the most. Instead of looking in the mirror and cursing myself for the things I had done the night before, that I was able to come to a place where I could see, what I want the most is I want to be a good woman, I want to be a good mom. I want to like who, the woman in the mirror. And I remember I pushed the drink aside and I kept on doing this thing. I thought to myself, Creator, I'm going to be sober now. And so I don't want any bad things happening to me. And I thought that was a pretty good deal, but life happens. And I think the difference between what was happening to me in my life was that they weren't self-imposed crisis. This was, I had my sister was murdered, and she died. She was murdered in 98, but we didn't know that until 2003. And in our territory, we have this person was the Green River Killer who had taken her life. And I remember coming into this place, it was like, the people, now I have, I have AA with me, holding me accountable, that, as to, how I take care of myself in that process, making it to meetings, that that these things do not overshadow our AA way of life. And I've had many tough things happen. In March of 2024, my son, who was an alcoholic, he took his life. And I will tell you, at this point in my life, I'm 5 years sober at the time. And the why it's so important to keep on doing this thing is because we never know what's going to happen. I think that that's really important, because see, I'm thinking that I can make a deal with Creator and say, well, I'm going to be sober. But one of the things I'll tell you is that this was not a self-imposed crisis. This was life happening, things that were not in my control. And I remember when I the day after bringing my son home, our taking care of my son's body, I came back to Seattle and I was looking at my sisters. One of my sisters is on here. She has 7 years of sobriety, and it's great to have people in your family in sobriety, and I looked at my sisters and I said, "Oh my God, I feel peace." And I was confused, because I thought, what kind of mother would feel peace, after just laying her son to rest? And I called my sponsor and we talked about it, but he said, "Rana, you do fourth dimension work every day. And it's inevitable that peace will come to you." You see, I think that's important to know, is that, a lot of times I wasn't the type of person, when I was in trouble, I'd be like, "Please, Creator, help me, get me out of this, get me out of that." But as a pro the as the doing that daily reprieve, doing 10, 11, and 12 every day, is like it gave me this momentum within my life where peace was integrated. I didn't have to ask for it. It just came to me, and that's exactly, as I share with you today, is that, it's just like I had to build my capacity to be where I am today, because in the beginning, that would be like, "My goodness, you guys are asking a lot of me," but I had to build, because what I recognize is just like, I have to go, when I go to meetings, I go out and I get my sunshine, right? I'm still, just recently, I'll tell you this, and I love AA for this reason, because you can say these things because you guys can identify. I was coming out of my home group meeting. This is like a couple of weeks ago, and I was tired. It was the end of the day, and I'm tired. I'm ready to go home. And there was a sister, and she's, has the ankle bracelet on, and she's getting ready to call an Uber. And I was like, "Okay, she's gonna get an Uber. I'll go ahead." And I was walking, and I stopped myself in my tracks, right? And I go, "Do you need a ride?" No, this is not where I'm not in that attitude though. Do you need a ride? She goes, no, that's okay. I'm getting an Uber. And so I turn around, it's like she's gonna get an Uber. And then this other part of me turns around and I'm like, you know, that's okay if you want to go ahead and cancel. I'll go ahead and get you that. I'll give you a ride. And then one of my sisters says, Ron, that's okay. I'll give her a ride, right? And I was like, okay, she's gonna give her a ride. You know, I said, no, that's okay. I'll go ahead and I'll give her. It's on the way anyway. I'll give her a ride. And so, you know, she gets in the car. She was able to cancel Uber, and I gave her a ride home. And I remember you know, we're talking along the way, and, you know, I drop her off, and I can feel this gratitude. And I thought to myself, I was like, wow, you know, this thing, it's like sometimes I still have to go get it, right? Not sometimes, a lot of times I still have to go get those. That is, it's acting my way into thinking, you know, I'm tired, I want to go home. That's a part of me that, you know, it's like I want to do that, but to be able to act my way. When I went to the meetings, you know, I didn't know that I was acting my way into thinking until one day as I was walking in my early days of sobriety, I didn't have to be in, I wasn't in treatment anymore. I didn't have to show a record that I was going to AA meetings. I was just on my way, and I thought, holy cow, I don't have to be here if I don't want to. But my body had already started going in that direction, you know. And, you know, so I do that. I keep in touch with myself on a daily basis because of the fact that I need to know. I need to keep that, you know, keep myself from being separate from you, from God, and from myself, you know. And so I do it every morning. I wake up and I do an 11 step, and I, you know, I sought through prayer and meditation. And I think that the thing with God for me is that, you know, I had a hard time with God in the beginning. But you know what? I mean, fortunately for people in our lives, somebody said, you know, Rana, the word water isn't going to make you wet. The word fire is not going to burn you. So don't get caught up in that God word, because everything will be revealed to you as we go along. And so that was really helpful for me, because it was a time where I could actually, you know, move into and come to believe in a power that was loving and compassionate, and not waiting around the corner to trip me up, you know. And you know, so as I was, it gave me the courage to go through the fourth step, to be able to look at that stuff, things I would never ever want to admit to anybody. You know, but the things that were commanding me, the dark, the negative parts of me that were commanding me as a result of trying to keep you back. If you knew this about me, you won't like me. You know, and then somebody teaches me that memories without the emotional charge becomes our wisdom. You know, all those things that we do, you know, working through making amends for things I thought I never could, you know, what happens is that there become the secrets inside of me that hold you back. You know, that help, that keep me away from the authentic nature of who I am. And, you know, I was able to find that in my culture, we have in, you know, the Great Spirit, the Creator, you know, and even Bill W. writes about the Creator. And I found out later that he was talking to a guy named Eugene B. And he said he got a lot of the different teachings, you know, in the book from the Native American culture. And I thought that was pretty cool to know, you know, because I was like, great mystery. Well, we say that, you know, creator, you know, that kind of thing. I thought that was pretty awesome. And, but, you know, but that's the thing for me is that I have to stay on top of that. You know, I have to, you know,
Minutes.
it doesn't matter how much time I have. I have to make sure that, you know, today was I selfish, dishonest, or inconsiderate with anyone. You know, the things that they ask, the different things that they talk about in the big book. You know, did I arouse anger in anyone or hurt anyone's feelings? You know, these are all questions that are in the 12 and 12 in the big book. My sponsor just was able to write them out for me so that I can make sure that I am. And if I'm not, I go and I take care of it. I do an inventory, and then I, you know, make amends if necessary. You know, and I like the way that Bill talks about, you know, whether it's big or small, you know, we do that. We look at it, you know, because for me, I'm just gonna like, ah, it's not a big deal, you know, maybe it's not. But a lot of times I've seen it's kind of like the hair in the drain, you know, like you see the little hair in the drain and you start pulling on it, you know, you pull on it, you have this big guck of stuff, you know. A lot of times I found that my little tiny things that I thought were a big deal become something that's been commanding me and holding me back from trusting, you know, from being honest. You know, holding me back from being the person I want to be. And so I continue to do this. And then, and use, like I said, in the morning time, I'll wake up and I'll do an 11 step, because it's really important for somebody who has a magnifying mind, somebody who has a racing mind, that sometimes, a lot of times, I have to get to God before my mind gets to me. And so I have this design for living has given me the ability to be able to, you know, wake up and to do, I do it, my sponsor guides me, I do the prayer of St. Francis, and I pick a passage out of that. You know, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I do a spiritual principle, step one, honesty. Fairness, straightforwardness of conduct, adherence to the facts, right? And I'll sit there with that. And then Bill W., before we had the data reflections, Bill W. used to use the Desiderata. And so he would take a passage out of that. Go placidly amid the noise and haste and remember what peace there may be in silence. And I will sit with that. And then I'll do a tradition that's applied to my life. Our common welfare comes first. Your healthy relationship depends upon unity at home, work, and play. And that's how I keep myself in balance on a daily basis. And it's important that that doesn't change whether from one day to where I am at 29 years. So I thank you very much for having me come here. I pray that, just for this day, that this is going to be a space where I'll keep you sober until tomorrow. All right. Do it again. Thank you.